This is Shop Talk, our weekly discussion of journalism issues. I'm Rich Egger.
I'm Jonathan Aul.
And I'm Jasmine Creighton.
So when there is a mass shooting in the U.S., the shooter's name is usually reported in stories. There's a bit of debate in the world of journalism about whether we should stop using the names of shooters in such cases. How do you feel?
Well, I think it's a necessity to the story. It's the why. Why did this happen? And, you know, who did it? It's though it answers those questions. I think it's important to know who did it and maybe try to, you know, figure out why, what occurred that caused this shooting. Now, I don't think that we need to hype it up and make the story completely about the shooter, the person who killed these people. I think that happened a lot. I remember back the Virginia Tech massacre. I was working at Fox in Las Vegas, and I vividly remember that day. And there were, you know, a lot of things in post-production. There were a lot of things in pre-production we're putting together just for this story, what was going on. And I remember a lot of people were putting out, because I think he had a manifesto that he had done, and everyone was covering that and plastering his face all over the stories, and it became less and less about the people that he had killed. I think that stations should really consider not making them celebrities, because then you get more copycats. I mean, that's the thinking behind it. People get famous because they do these terrible things. And that's what I think people are railing against, the fact they don't want these people made into celebrities. And I think that's totally fine. We don't have to make them celebrities, but we do need to look at them and look at them as people and figure out why did this happen.
I think that, you know, it's interesting to look at the impetus for this. And I think there were two events in the Oregon Community College shooting that has people talking about this. The first thing is that the sheriff of the area said that he would never speak the shooter's names. And, you know, that was his way of being defiant against this. Now, of course, it came out later that this sheriff is also one that fought gun control regulations. And even was part of an attempt to block things happening in legislation at the White House. But that was the first part of it. And then the second part of it is that there were some people who work in the media, some that publicly took the stand and said that we're not going to talk about the shooter and we're not even going to use the shooter's name, which I think ended up just being an attempt at a publicity stunt to say, look how righteous we are. We're not going to give the shooter the satisfaction of saying their name. I think all of it is ridiculous. That you know, the news is what happens, and what happened was a person took a gun and killed a bunch of people. And what that person's name is, and what their background is, and the things that led up to them making the decision to do that horrible act is important, and it's newsworthy. And yes, I can understand the idea that you don't want to make them celebrities, but I don't think that someone who is that deranged, that they believe that that's going to be the tipping point for them. That if they don't see these people, you know, on TV, they're going to say, oh, well, then maybe I won't go off on a crazed shooting rampage. I don't think that's the point. I think that what you're really seeing here is people who are frustrated that this continues to happen. They want to feel like they're taking some kind of action, and the action that they're taking is saying that somehow treating the perpetrators like Voldemort and not saying their name out loud is somehow going to make it better, when it's not. It really is a poor substitute for intelligent and thorough investigation as to why this keeps happening and what can be done to prevent it.
I think the case in Roanoke, Virginia, where the two reporters were shot live on TV by a former coworker, how could you tell that story and not use the shooter's name?
Very true, Rich. You really needed to be able to look at his background, and that's what happened. People knew who it was, and they were able to look at his work background and find that, you know, and talk to his former bosses and talk to people who had formerly worked with him. And he had a rash of behavioral issues at the different stations, but had kept getting hired because obviously you can't always tell people the truth about, I mean, someone's mental issues. If you are, you know, doing a check, a background check necessarily, if they weren't fired for that, then that could be, you know, they could sue you for that.
You know, I think back to the issue here is that I think that what you're really seeing is people who are frustrated and angry and trying to figure out some reaction that makes sense to them or that makes them look good to their peers or to the audience that they're serving by taking some kind of quote-unquote stand that this somehow is going to make things better, and it isn't. And I think that you're really betraying the journalism when you're withholding information from people.
I think it's good that some organizations try to tell the stories of the victims and shine a spotlight on who those people were. But again, I don't think you can tell the full story by ignoring the person who made this a story in the first place.
Ultimately, you do need to investigate that, and it would be poor journalism not to.
It's unfortunate that you have to do that, but I think to try and understand what happened and maybe help us all deal with this a little bit, I think that's part of the story that needs to be included.
And try to find a resolution to it, because that's ultimately, I think, the goal, is trying to find some kind of way to put a stop to it, whether that's better safety practices, gun control, mental health issues.
I have seen a couple of reports in the wake of the Oregon shooting, and I can't remember the sources. One was TV, and I think the other was NPR, about states that have task forces that are mental health intervention teams and how they only exist in a few states. But talking about these groups and what they have done and their track record of success and where it can be successful and where it can't. And I think that is ultimately much more informative to people than either, you know, doing a beautiful tribute to a victim or a deep dig into the past of a perpetrator, is to talk about, okay, well, what else is out there that we know about? What level of success have we had? Where are the pluses? Where are the minuses? Where's the successes and failures? So if we want to talk about improving journalism, I think that would be a better way to go rather than saying, well, we're not going to release the name or we're not going to talk about the person who committed this crime as somehow being a thing that's going to prevent it in the future.
Right. But to report on such a task force, you're going to have to bring up these incidents of violence and perhaps the shooter's name.
Well, in that case, I don't think you need to, because, you know, if you're reporting,
I think it helps the story to include some of that background
you don't have to talk about the person's name in that one. I think that if you talk about, you know, Sandy Hook, the Oregon Community College shooting, and, you know, you could name a few of those and people know what you're talking about. I don't think you need to mention specific names of shooters, because it makes it more about the issue and less about the event. And the issue is what we need to move forward on, because unless we invent a time machine, we're not going to go back and change the event.
Speaking of moving forward and time, we need to move out of here. We are out of time for today. Our listeners can join us again next week at this time for more of Shop Talk.